When Rafar got the news, he gloated and laughed. He had taken his opponent's queen.
And so shall it be for the rest. The strong man entrusted the preparation of the town to me. And when he comes, he will find it unoccupied, swept, and put in order.
Then he called for some of his warriors.
Finish Hogan and Bush. And as for this Kevin Weed, kill him any way you wish.
Marshall remained at the kitchen table as the daylight faded. Ted Harmel was right. It happened. Marshall had lost everything. He was ruined, out on his ear like everybody else. Like Strong, Jefferson, Gregory, the Carlucci's, Waller, James. How many people had he talked to? How many had warned him? There was a noise at the front door. Kate? Sandy? He almost broke into a run getting to Sandy's room. She was hurriedly going through her closet. Where's Mom? She asked. She's gone to her mother's for a while. She's left you, in other words. Sandy was grabbing clothing and belongings and throwing them into a suitcase and some shopping bags.
Looks like you're leaving, too.
That's right.
But where will you go?
Sandy looked up at him for the first time, and the look in her eyes chilled him, a strange, glassy, maniacal expression he had never seen before.
Sandy, can we just talk?
I'll see you in hell. Marshall sensed it clearly. Something had come into his house. In the meantime, Carmen, Marshall's double-crossing secretary, knocked on the door of Hank and Mary's house. She'd been coming to Hank for counseling lately, singing a sad song of rejection and loneliness, but neither Hank nor Mary felt right about her. Hank sat in a chair opposite her, praying a mile a minute. She looked different, even halfway normal, and yet there was something about her eyes. Marshall remained in the bedroom doorway, blocking it with his body. Sandy, listen to me. There are people who are trying to destroy us. They want this family to fall apart. They're trying to pin a murder rap on me, and it even sounds like they're accusing me of abusing you. That's how terrible this whole thing is. But you did it. You know you did it.
Did what, Sandy?
She broke down, and tears came to her eyes as she said, "You raped me. You raped me." Carmen seemed uncomfortable. Hank, it's time we were truthful and cleared the air once and for all. We're just not being fair to Mary.
Mary asked, "What do you mean by that?"
Carmen looked at Mary, took her hand, and said, "Mary, Hank and I have been having an affair."
"Well, it's true. Well, tell her, Hank. Please tell her."
Hank spoke firmly. "Carmen, I think there's a serious spiritual problem here. May we pray with you?" There were 15 spirits packed into Carmen's body like maggots, boiling, writhing, a tangle of hideous arms, legs, talons, and heads. They began to squirm. Carmen began to squirm. They moaned and cried out, and so did Carmen, her eyes turning glassy and vacant. Outside the room, Creone and Triskel watched from a distance. "Orders! Orders! Orders! Tal knows what he's doing. Hank's playing with a bomb in there! Those demons will tear him apart!" Marshall was horrified. "Sandy, it's me, Marshall Hogan, your father. Think, Sandy. You know I never touched you. I never molested you."
"You did. It was something my mind blocked out for years, but Professor Langstrat brought it out."
"Langstrat?"
"She'd put me under hypnosis, and I saw it like it was yesterday. You did it, and I hate you."
From outside the house, Nathan and Armand could see the deceiving spirit clinging to Sandy's back, its talons deep in her skull. Tal landed beside them. Preserve their lives, but Hogan must fall. The 15 spirits in Carmen were foaming and frothing.
"Let us go, praying man,"
Carmen's voice warned. Hank asked, Carmen, do you want to be delivered?
She can't hear you.
Let us alone.
She belongs to us.
In the name of Jesus, come out of her. The bomb exploded. Carmen pounced on Hank like a leopard, clawing, biting, mauling. Her teeth clamped onto his right arm. He pushed and pounded with his left. Demon, let go! The jaws opened. Hank gave a mighty shove, and Carmen's body staggered backwards, twitching and shrieking. He was looking into the eyes of a beast. He could smell the sulfurous breath hissing through the bear's teeth. Sharp fingernails snagged and tore at his shirt. Some dug into his flesh. He could hear Mary screaming, "Stop it, spirit! In Jesus' name, stop it!"
I won't!
Carmen's body slammed into the front door, splitting the jam. Hank yanked the door open, and she dashed out the door and down the street. Sandy struck like a rattlesnake, wailing and pouncing on Marshall with flying fists. Okay, you can go. Just remember, I love you. She grabbed her suitcase and shopping bags and bolted for the front door. He followed her. He wanted one last glimpse of her. When he came around the corner, all he saw was the lamp that smacked into his skull. He crumpled to one knee, slumping against the couch. His hand went to his head. He was bleeding.
Marshall! A hand rested on his shoulder. It was a woman. Kate? Sandy? No, Bernice. Squinting at him through blackened eyes. Marshall, what happened? Are you still there?
Help me clean up this mess.
I just saw Sandy drive off with that boyfriend of hers. Was this her doing?
Yeah. She pitched the lamp at me. She's not herself at all. She's gone crazy.
Where's Kate?
She's left me. Bernice settled to the floor, her bruised face the picture of shock, dismay, and exhaustion. Neither of them said anything for a few moments, but just stared at each other.
Man, you're a mess.
I thought you were supposed to be resting at home. I just got back from Baker. I've got bad news.
Weed?
He's dead, Marshall. The truck he was driving went off the Judd River Bridge and into that big canyon. We were supposed to meet each other there. He'd just gotten a call from Susan Jacobson, and it sounded important.
Marshall's head fell back against the couch, and he closed his eyes.
Ah, great. Just great.
Either my phone or his was bugged. That accident had to have been set up. I got out of there fast.
We're going down, Bernie.
Marshall went on to tell her all about his afternoon.
You giving up?
We were warned, Bernie, and we didn't listen. They got me, they got all our records, any proof we ever had. Harmel blew his brains out. Strawn's getting as far away from it as he can. They took out Weed. Right now, I'm just barely alive, and that's all I have left.
What about Susan Jacobson?
I doubt she's even alive by now.
Kevin said she had the goods and was getting out. If she has the evidence, we need to seal this thing up.
They took care of that, Bernie. Remember? Weed was our last contact with her.
Want a toy with a theory?
No.
If Kevin's phone was bugged, they know what Weed and Susan talked about.
So Susan's as good as dead, too.
We don't know that. Maybe she got away. Maybe she was going to meet Kevin someplace. Somewhere there's got to be a recording of that phone call.
Yeah, but where?
Well, think for a minute. Think of all the people who seem to have responded to the alleged bug. The Windsor cops knew they could find you at Strawn's after you told me you'd be there.
No, they wouldn't have it. They're too far away. But what about Brummel?
Could be.
He fired Sarah, you know. She wasn't there today.
She'd been replaced.
Yeah. She talked to me on the phone and ratted on Brummel a little. And then he fired her. He must have heard that conversation, too. Hey, you know, Brummel just got some new cabinets.
Keep going.
When I went to see him to get your bail money back, he had some new office equipment, and there was a wire coming out of the wall. Hey, Bernice, it was telephone wire.
If that recording equipment is in Brummel's office, if we could find any tapes of telephone conversations, it might be enough to bring charges. Illegal wiretapping.
Murder.
Chilling thought.
We need Sarah. I made a deal with her. If she's on our side, now's when she can prove it.